This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
Well, it's certainly a different vibe tonight because for the first time ever, we're recording on a Saturday night.
It does feel a bit weird. I kind of like it though. It's a little bit more relaxed.
Yeah, I loved the drive up. So we always joke about how my house is quite far away from Sophie's, but there was literally no traffic. I was eating a burrito in the car and listening to Taylor Swift's new Fearless album.
This is epic, this album. Firstly, I love the fact that she has taken her power back and recorded all of her songs. And she now has released songs that she wrote when she was 16 and 18. And these songs are absolute bangers. I don't know why they weren't on the original album.
Well, she's written so many good songs that I suppose they have to really cut them down. And I was a little bit worried because it's an unpopular opinion, but I have struggled to get into folklore and Evermore. However, as soon as I started listening to these new songs, I was hooked, as I normally am with her albums.
I am so obsessed with Mr. Perfectly Fine. I could just envision my 20-year-old self listening to this song in the car, singing about all these old dickheads that I'd went out with. I was back there in that moment listening to that song.
It's funny you say that because I listened to the whole album and I really was getting flashbacks to when I was 21 because we first started listening to Taylor Swift when You Belong With Me. Well, I think it had been out for a while. Mm. Someone just put it onto my, I think it was an MP3 player actually.
Vintage. Yeah. Well, a lot of articles were saying that the reason people are resonating so much with Fearless at the moment is because everyone's into the nostalgia of things. So they remember what the songs meant to them at that time. So it is like reliving your youth and your memories when you listen to some of these tracks again.
Well, particularly 15. I mean, I know I said we were like 21, 22 when we started listening, but those songs never get old.
And I do love the fact that an avid listener can pick up on the little differences in the song. So there'll be the odd chuckle or, I mean, just her voice sounds a lot more mature because it was more of a country tone back in the day.
Well, I was trying to listen hard to see if I noticed a difference, and there was something that I couldn't quite put my finger on. I am no musical professional, so perhaps it was the country tone, but I do love it, and I am loving re-listening and re-falling in love with these songs again.
I'd love to hear what songs everyone else is obsessed with. I'll put up a thread in our Facebook community, which is Outspoken, the podcast community. Fellow Swifties, hit us up in there.
Maddie Finlay has joined a number of female influencers creating secondary Instagram accounts in a bid to break away from her predominantly male audience. Despite having over 150,000 followers, Maddie has launched a new account in an attempt to be relevant to female brands. Kate, can you tell us a little bit about this new account?
Well, Maddie Finlay has been really open and honest this week about the fact that she is struggling to reach her audience. And this is the audience that she deems her content should be served to. Now, Maddie has actually started a new lifestyle and fashion Instagram account, and she said that she had really struggled with this decision and she did not take it lightly. She said it took her a year to come to the decision to turn off the original account and go to this new account where she would be posting content that she actually loves as opposed to content that she thinks will do well on Instagram.
Well, for those people who don't actually follow Maddie, what kind of content does she normally post to her 150,000 followers?
Well, when I had a look, it was kind of your typical Instagram model content. So as of the start of the year, a third of her pictures were either her in bikinis or underwear, and then the rest was really fashion and lifestyle focused. So there was a thread of fashion and lifestyle. However, it seemed quite apparent that the majority of her followers were more interested in the sort of sexier content because that was the content that was getting more likes and more comments, so essentially more engagement on them.
If you take a look at Maddie's bio on her original Instagram account, it has a link tree where it directs you to find out more places to follow her. So it has a link to her TikTok, and then it also has a link to what it refers to as extra content. And when you follow that, it actually directs you to an OnlyFans account, which I was quite surprised about. I didn't actually realize she had this sort of account. And it's really confusing because on the one hand, she says she wants to create a new account, or sorry, a new Instagram to move away from that type of following. But to me, if you start an OnlyFans account, aren't you then trying to attract a male following as well? So perhaps she's trying to separate these two followings.
Yeah, and for anyone that's wondering what her OnlyFans account is all about, because there are some people that actually use it to interact more closely with their fans, and the content isn't of more of a sexual nature, but it does appear, I mean, I haven't signed up, it is $14.99 a month, but it does appear to be more explicit content. So she says she has online daily chats, she does feed posts daily. There's also something described as raunchier PPV content, which is sent frequently, custom content available, and tip list available. So on her OnlyFans account, she has posted 134 times, she's got 95 photos, 13 videos, and has amassed 4,500 likes across that content.
And can I just say that there is absolutely no issue if she wants to start an OnlyFans account. I just find it really odd that she seems to want to move away from that online, but then she actively has this account.
I do find it an interesting thing because perhaps now that she has an OnlyFans account, she doesn't want to give that type of bikini or underwear content away for free. And with OnlyFans being a little bit more private, perhaps she's thinking, okay, well, I've got that source of income coming in from OnlyFans, so now I'm going to branch out and actually spend time creating content that I'm interested in, e.g. fashion and lifestyle, on this new page. Because I do feel like as much as people are a lot more accepting of people that do have OnlyFans accounts, I do wonder if it's something that brands don't want to be necessarily linked to.
Well, do you guys think that maybe because her account isn't actually reaching the right demographic, maybe those brand deals aren't coming along, and maybe she's had to go and create an OnlyFans account to fund her lifestyle?
Well, I did have a scroll through her post, and she does seem to tag a lot of different female brands. So Maddie has worked with Revolve. She's worked with Lounge Underwear, Tidal Hair, Boohoo, Hello Molly, Princess Polly, Whisper Beauty. So I do think that she is getting brand deals. However, I question if her audience isn't legitimately female and the demographic that those brands are interested in targeting, I don't think she's going to keep those sorts of brand deals.
It's fairly evident when you look at her new account that people aren't interested in her for fashion content, because currently it is sitting at 1,280 followers, and it has been up for about a week now, and every single one of her friends who has a large platform has shared it on their Instagram story. So one would assume if you had people who were genuinely interested in your content that you would have amassed a larger audience than 1,280 people.
Well, particularly when you look at her main account, which has over 150,000 followers. So that means that this new account has only attracted 0.84% of her original audience.
Wow.
And as you said, people like Madison Woolley and Lexi Murray, who are her friends and have large followings, have promoted her to their followers. So it does really put a big question mark over, are any of these women's followers actually legitimately the audience that brands are interested in targeting?
And it's quite clear when you do just have a scroll through at some of the comments left under her photos, they are predominantly from a male audience. Some of them are just so creepy. For instance, one says, Maddie Finlay, I love you, my baby, and I want you, my baby, forever with you, my baby, and kisses for you.
Ooh.
The other one says, so blessed to have you on this earth.
Wouldn't you think you'd delete that sort of stuff?
Do you guys think that it is pretty unethical of Maddie to accept these brand deals, full well knowing that her audience is predominantly men and not young women who they are trying to sell to?
I really do think it is the wrong thing to do, and I don't think it's good from a business sense either, because you may be getting a payment for them, you know, a one-off payment. However, if your code doesn't work and you're not actually contributing to sales, then that partnership is not going to last for very long.
Do you think that some of the brands should be looking closer at some of these influencers though? Because shouldn't they be able to see, oh, okay, she's got 80% male followers. Maybe we're not going to use her for our next brand drop.
But I feel like maybe they're being deceptive. You have a look and she doesn't actually have a management team that works with her. I don't know what she's putting out to these brands, but I think there is room to be quite deceptive in what you're putting out there.
Particularly because a lot of these influencers work from media kits, and often the media kits are edited up by themselves or by their manager. And I do feel like a lot of brands will take influencers on face value, which, yes, is probably on them to do their research. However, with Instagram taking away likes, it is getting harder and harder to tell, you know, what people's genuine engagement is. I mean, I did look up Maddie's profile on Social Blade and her engagement level is 1.58%, which is very low.
Do you think that she feels somewhat worried or embarrassed that this page has only attracted a very minimal following?
Well, I actually think it puts a question mark over whether her following is actually legitimate and whether a lot of other young influencers also have a legitimate following, because to only be getting 1.2 thousand followers when you apparently have over 150,000 is just ridiculous.
Well, yeah, particularly when you look at people like Jade Tunchi or Shani Grimmon or Michael Finch who have spin-off accounts, they very easily attracted a large amount of followers. So, yeah, I am really questioning whether her following is actually legit. Yeah. I mean, you can see that there are old men and different and men on there that are from different countries, but are others bots? Like, you just don't know.
Yeah. And what about the fact that all those influencers who she's friends with have shared it? You'd think if their followings were really legitimately made up of the core female demographic, that a lot of them would go, oh, that's a friend of so-and-so, I'm going to go follow her. But none of them have gone over to the account. It's just weird.
Do you know, this actually makes me really happy in the sense of, I feel like as young women, we are expecting so much more from influencers. Mm. When I take a look at these sort of accounts, I feel like they're a very old school version of what was popular. So now that we are more focused on body positivity and investing our time in people who actually have something important to say and who have more substance to them, I feel like this is why these girls are thinking, fuck, I've got to do something different. I can't just put up bikini pictures. And because brands are so much more savvy to it now.
Yeah, I totally agree. And you see influencers within that sort of friendship group, like Madison Woolley. She's gone and sort of created her own book. She's created her own fashion line. And it does seem like she has got a small audience that are actually interested in it, because I do think she's another influencer that started her career with predominantly a male audience. Well, Maddie Finlay may be looking at that and thinking, okay, well, I've managed to trick brands into giving me money to promote to an audience which isn't actually there. However, I know deep down, if I want to take my brand, personal brand, to the next level, I don't actually have the audience that are interested in a product that I might launch. So I better actually go out there and start creating that audience.
Well, another influencer in their friendship group who has also started up subsequent accounts is Alexandra Murray. She actually has three separate accounts now. The first is her main account, which is called Alexandra Murray, and it has 142,000 followers. She then has a secondary account called Lexi Murray, where she shares more lifestyle content, which has 24,000 followers. And this week she has started up Lexi Eating, which only has 634 followers. And the thing that I find so strange is she said she wants to start up this food account because people keep asking her to share where she's eating. Why can't she just do this on her main page?
Yeah, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. And also, you mentioned that she has two other accounts. Well, when I had a look at her main account and then her fashion lifestyle account, there was literally no difference to anything that she was posting. Like, it all looked very curated, very posed. You know, it's not like it's these, as I was talking about, these spin-off unfiltered accounts where they're more themselves. Like, I just don't really get the purpose of them.
And to only get 600 followers.
Yeah, because she was having all her influencer friends, you know, promote it to their stories as well. I do wonder what the conversations are like within this friendship group. Are they all having this existential crisis that, hang on, all we've got is men following us and no brands are going to be interested in that?
I feel like what might have happened is that some of them are actually getting managers and they're looking at their engagement and levels and their audience and going, shit, we can't do anything for you. There's not going to be brands that are going to be wanting to work with you.
Well, Georgia Knight, who works for We Are Komodo, which is an influencer management agency, she was interviewed on Madison Woolley and Caitlin Rodriguez's podcast. And she said that when Madison started on their books, she told her that she really had to work harder to build up a female audience because it was predominantly men who were following her page.
Well, that really is an insight then into those conversations going on within that group. I actually read an article the other day from theconversation.com, and it was written by three marketing professors from RMIT. And it was saying the number one way a woman can get noticed online is by posting sexualized content, which isn't really surprising when you look at some of the big influencers. And what was really interesting was the authors of the article, they actually analyzed 172 female influencers. And these influencers ranged from micro influencers to big influencers. And over a 4-month period, they noticed that all of the influencers shared what they described as pornified images.
I've never heard of the word pornified.
But I know. So pornified, it means when someone adopts a look associated with mainstream porn. So the images range from softer porn references. So for example, influencers posing to highlight a sexualized body part. So you often see those bikini shots where the camera is angled right up to look at the influencer's bum.
And yes, then, I've seen that quite a lot.
I know. And then there's the shot where the influencer's lips are parted and they've got their finger on their lip, or maybe they're pulling their hair, or maybe they're just squatting down. And it's what's crazy is when I was reading all of these examples of pictures, I thought, I actually see those photos every day, but you become so desensitized to them.
It's funny that you say that, because when I was trying to tally up Maddie Finlay's posts and put them into categories of fashion, lifestyle, or bikini / pornified images, it was really hard because some outfits were, I would say, fashion outfits. However, as you said, she was squatting or pouting in a sort of suggestive way. So it really does seem to cross over into that fashion content. And literally everyone who's got a following seems to post photos like that.
Well, what I discovered as well when I took a closer look at some of these girls' accounts is if you look at their tag section, you can really see how their following grows so rapidly each day. Because what I was unaware of is there's actually these Instagram accounts that basically feature Instagram's best models.
Oh, you don't follow those?
No, funnily enough, I don't follow them. And they're basically either lingerie photos or bikini photos.
It kind of reminds me of the modern day, like, Ralph magazine.
Yeah, it's actually insane because these pages have accumulated hundreds of thousands of followers. And so the second someone, a young girl, is shared on this page, they just attract so many male followers from it.
I find it really funny that anyone would actually follow these accounts. Not, I understand that men would view them, but I feel like what a contentious thing if you found out that your partner,
oh my God,
was following one of these accounts.
I feel like that's a bit of a dumpable offense.
Yeah. Well, this article actually mentioned those shout out accounts. And it was saying some of the top influencers who they analyzed, they were all on these shout out accounts. And what's interesting, though, is that the women themselves are reluctant to untag themselves from the accounts because they realize how much exposure they get. So what's really sad is they obviously want followers. So they don't care where the followers are coming from. And what's also really interesting is that a lot of the accounts, like that friendship group we've discussed, they try to put across the image that they are fashionistas and they're lifestyle bloggers, but they're really not. They're not having, that's not the type of content that people are following them
for. It might be the content that they want to put out there, but no one's interested in it. And you often see that reflected in their YouTube following, because YouTube's obviously a platform where you have to be really interested in someone's life to watch a 20-minute vlog about them. So a lot of the, I'd say, dirty old men that follow these sorts of female accounts, they're happy to look at their bikini photos, but I don't think they're so happy to see what they eat for dinner.
Yeah.
And you do see this reflected because sometimes these sorts of influencers will put up a bikini haul or a lingerie haul, and those are the videos that get a lot of likes.
But then you also see that a number of them will share up a post to say, oh, I've got a new vlog out. And they will literally share a photograph of themselves in bikinis or lingerie to promote a video that has nothing to do with it.
Because they want the engagement on it.
Exactly. I actually feel so sorry, though, for these small brands who are unaware of this behavior. Because if you're a small brand and you've just started and are dipping your toe into the influencer world, you would have no idea that these people don't have genuine followings that you want to reach.
Well, when it comes to Maddie Finlay, there's big brands that have sponsored her, like Princess Polly and Revolve. They should know the influencer world enough to be able to see that her audience is not a match for their product.
But that's a scary thing for small businesses, though, because a small business would see that someone like Princess Polly or Revolve had worked with this person and think, wow, they must be legit. Yeah. I'm going to spend a huge percentage of our marketing budget on this person and really get no return for it.
Just going back to the article I mentioned before, and it made a really interesting point that I had never thought of. And we're obviously talking about how these influencers are getting a lot of male attention because of these shout out pages. And what I didn't really think about was the harassment that they also might be getting. I mean, Sophie, for you mentioned some disgusting comments that Maddie Finlay was getting. I mean, some of the comments I have read on different influencers' account, I can't even repeat because they are so disgusting. Some of them range from love to spank and kiss your gorgeous ass to more aggressive comments like turn around before I take out my dick and beat you.
Yuck. Oh my God, that is so vulgar. And I do wonder if they worry about their safety because as Maddie was saying on the new account, she wants to share more about her life. And I noticed she was sharing a number of photos of her apartment. And I thought maybe she doesn't feel safe to share content when she's out and about because these men could possibly track where she is.
Well, it's not just creepy comments that influencers are getting. There's also followers who are trying to solicit sex from the influencers, and there's also physical threats that have been made. But what's interesting again is we were talking before about how these influencers are reluctant to untag themselves from photos. They're also sadly reluctant to actually delete these kind of creepy comments because, of course, it creates engagement on their posts, which will push their page to the popular pages, create more engagement and more following. So what do you guys think about that, about them leaving up the comment?
Well, as you touched on, they're clearly just doing it to create greater engagement on their page. But even though we are criticizing Maddie here somewhat, I think it is good that she has started this new account because if she's using it to be more genuine and post things that she actually likes, maybe it will resonate with young girls more.
Yeah, for me, it's really risk versus reward. I mean, at the end of the day, these influencers have managed to amass a large audience, be it not an audience that these brands are actually interested in targeting for their product. However, it's really a stepping stone. So they've managed to get on, some of them have managed to get on these big brand trips where they're juxtapositioned with other influencers who may genuinely have a following of the demographic that is desired. So they then in turn, by being put in the right spot, actually start attracting the audience that they want. Thinking back though to your point, Amy, about this pornified imagery that we're seeing on Instagram, it really does make me worried for the younger generation of females that are starting to go on Instagram. I'm thinking about tweens and teenagers who just see this content as a very normal way for women to be betrayed. And I feel like I'm already seeing it myself, a lot of young women thinking that their worth is only in their appearance and being attractive to men.
Yeah.
And it does worry me that there's a lot of women out there that see the world of influencing very attractive, and therefore they're going to try and get a following based on objectifying themselves on Instagram.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what this study pointed out. It said there is this trend of this pornified aesthetic, and it has real consequences for gender equality because it positions women as only existing for men's sexual consumption, which it's, I mean, no one really talks about that, do they? Because no one wants to be shaming women. And as we've said, women should be able to post whatever they want, but we also need to understand there are ramifications of it as well.
Well, we'd love to hear what you guys think on this topic. Please join us in our Facebook community, which is Outspoken, the podcast community, and have your say.
Jamie, do as you're told. Fuck your friend.
Jamie, talk to me.
Talk to your grandfather, for God's sake, man.
Fine, I'll talk to him.
But I don't want you to go.
You'll be all right, darling.
Bye, Jumpy. Bye-bye.
Thank fuck that's over.
Let's get into the influencer rap. And Jade Tunchi is the latest influencer to take aim at celeb spell check. Sophie, can you please fill us in on what's been going down?
Well, it all started when Australia announced that it would be opening up a travel bubble with New Zealand. So as influencers do, Jade chucked up a question box on her Instagram story and asked her followers for recommendations about must-stay spots in New Zealand, as well as the best places to ski.
I found it quite funny that as soon as we can travel somewhere, all the influencers were all about booking in their next trip.
But reading between the lines, that's just basically saying, hey brands, I'm going to New Zealand. Who's going to offer me free accommodation and free things to do?
Well, Well, Celeb Spellcheck got onto it pretty quickly. She reshared the post and juxtapositioned it with a video that Jade shared on her Real Jade Twinchy page, where she poked fun at people for not having the ability to Google basic information. So she was pretty much having a go at her followers who send her in questions that could easily be Googled.
I do love the fact that Celeb Spellcheck just had this one waiting on the archives, ready to go.
Well, she also captioned it brilliantly. She wrote, "Mount Hypocrite." And this post received a huge amount of comments from people who agreed that this was incredibly tone deaf and that she was clearly after a sponsored trip.
And a lot of people also pointed out that she is extremely condescending in the video. And it seems to be a common theme for her at the moment. So she has that Real Jade Twinchy page and she kind of posts content that is very condescending but under the guise of being comedic.
I literally can't stand those videos. I don't find them funny at all, and it appears that a lot of people are starting to lose any sort of interest in following that page.
The whole issue is that when Jade is called out, she goes, "Oh, I was just joking." But the issue is that people don't think of it as being a joke because the execution is so poor.
Well, getting back into this drama, it was only a few months ago that Celeb Spellcheck shared a series of old social media posts that influencers had made. And Jade wrote a post on Facebook where she said Aboriginals weren't originally from here. Now, despite being called out for racism, Jade did not acknowledge this post at all. She did not issue an apology and she did not say anything to Celeb Spellcheck about it. It was clear that she hoped the whole thing would go away. However, she has decided to comment about the New Zealand post.
Well, this is essentially deja vu from a couple of months ago when we had our own run-in with Jade because she couldn't...
Jade.
It actually slipped out like that. I didn't mean... Yeah, well, as I said, like, she was so offended that we made fun that she was over-promoting her engagement and felt the need to call us out. However, as you said, remained very quiet about being racist.
You guys have to listen to this comment, though. The absolute shade thrown out this. So she said, "Hi, exclamation mark. So happy you love this story so much that you've decided to recycle it several times. Not sure where the spelling error is, though. This should be common sense, but the reason I've asked so many people to Google things is not because they've asked me where something is from that I'm wearing. I'm always happy to share that info and always tag things in my post." Gee, I wonder why, because you get paid for it. "It's when people DM me about things like having a rash on their skin or basic info on stuff that I have no knowledge of. Yes, this happens. That's what the story is directed towards. I also ask my followers questions because I trust their judgment over random people who've written articles on the internet. It's much more personal and I get to have conversations with them in more detail about their suggestions. Your page has become a forum of bullying and I find it pretty disgusting that you think what you're doing is okay."
I really struggled to see how that post was bullying at all. It was really a tongue-in-cheek, fun video that if Jade had just laughed it off, it would have been fine. I can see how perhaps Jade would have seen the comments more as bullying that were on the post. There was a little bit of a pile-on going on. But Celeb Spellcheck has been moderating the post. And since Jade actually posted on there, the comments have been turned off.
What I did love was that Celeb Spellcheck didn't shy away from this comment. She hit back with a mega punch. I just laughed when I saw it. She wrote back, "But surely asking for must-see spots in New Zealand is a basic question that you can Google. While you're here, are you going to comment on / apologize for what you said about Aboriginals?" This received 330 likes. Jade wrote back, "I'll definitely address this for you as you've clearly screenshotted a comment without any context whatsoever."
Sorry, does a comment like that need context?
Exactly. "And tried to make it about race. I was referencing the fact that Aboriginals have been linked to Africa. Here's an article can read that will articulate it a lot better than I can. This is why I didn't apologize, and you know this because you've screenshotted it without any context about the post, which was referring to historic events. Stop trying to insinuate that I'm racist when I never have been and never will be.
Sorry.
Again, what you're doing is absolutely disgusting." And then she chose to share the link to the article.
Sorry. If you don't have the ability to explain what you meant by the comment, then why did you make the comment in the first place?
Exactly. And I'm sorry, but I think that in this situation, you should apologize. You've clearly caused offense to people with this comment.
Yeah, even if she didn't, that's the thing. Even if she didn't actually mean offense by it, people have been offended. So just apologize. I mean, I don't necessarily think that Jade is racist, but the comment was
offensive to people.
Look, everyone, you know, the comment was made a long time ago now, and we really should give people the opportunity to learn and grow for it. But I think the first step of learning and growing for something is actually putting out a legitimate apology, not pretending as if you don't know that this comment has been brought up.
Well, that's what Celeb Spellcheck wrote back to her. She said, people took offense to your comment, questioned you about it, and you blocked and deleted everyone. It's on you to explain, which I think is pretty fair enough. And to be honest, I think it is offensive to just chuck up the article again and to give that article legitimacy as well.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, it doesn't stop there because, as Celeb Spellcheck said, Jade is very keen to press block. She's very keen to report things. And Jade has actually taken the step to report Celeb Spellcheck, not for bullying, as she claimed, but actually for copyright breach.
Yeah, well, I reached out to Celeb Spellcheck when all of this drama was unfolding, and she sent me a screenshot showing that Jade had reported the video for copyright. And I was really surprised that it was taken down. It was seen as a breach of copyright, despite the fact that she has shared that content on Instagram. Now, there's a lot of hypocrisy going on with Jade, and this was really evident in a post she shared this week following on from a video she did, a comedy video she did about lattes. Oh,
this was so cringe and tone deaf. So for those who didn't see it, on her real Jade Tunchi account, she put up a bit of a like internal monologue in her car about why are iced lattes $5 and normal lattes $4.50 when like is ice really expensive and why should she be charged 50 cents extra? Firstly, are you bloody serious? Like after the year we've had with COVID and cafes have been absolutely rocked with, you know, uncertainty around wages and all that sort of thing, you're really complaining about paying $5 for an iced latte. Even in Adelaide, that's cheap.
But an iced latte also uses more milk than a coffee.
As one user pointed out, that with an iced latte, you get a double shot of coffee. Mm. They're in bigger glasses. There's also energy used to create the ice. Mm. Some people pay for ice. And also wages are so high and rent is higher for the venues that are used. Jade saw this post and instead of, you know, moving on, she had to single the person out. Well, she did blur out their name, but she wrote, to the people who were wondering why this page is on private now or why I wasn't posting here for a while, this is the reason. As the audience here grows, people sort of forgot what the page was about and started taking my comedic videos way too seriously. The only posts here that are serious are quite obvious and they're usually me discussing details of my personal life, experiences and emotions to hopefully give people something to relate to. Other than that, I'm joking. Please stop taking the video so seriously or just leave the page if you don't quite get my sense of humor. Now, the absolute hypocrisy of defending her own actions by saying it's comedy and then calling Celeb Spellcheck a bully for posting something that so many people found legitimately funny.
Mm, whereas no one really found her rant about the cost of iced coffee funny at all.
And I feel
iced latte.
And I feel like saying to Jade, well, your tone is incredibly condescending on your real page, which is apparently your comedic page, and then also your real page, which is her main account. So we can't really tell because you're bitchy and condescending on both of those accounts. So that's where there seems to be a blurred line between what's comedic and what's real. And you can't be on your own account posting really expensive designer brands and clothes all the time and then be fussing about 50 cents and saying it's a joke.
You're clearly not one of the people.
No.
You know, she's clearly trying to be one of the people complaining about expensive cafes when she's unaware of how she is being perceived.
I'm confused, though, why it's meant to be funny when she just puts on that voice where it takes so long to get anything
infuriating. But she uses that voice for all of her videos, so it just seems to be her natural voice.
Yeah. Now, this turned into an even bigger shitstorm. So on Saturday afternoon, Celeb Spellcheck got her revenge. I feel like this was a middle finger right up at Jade Tunchi. She shared an old post that she found on Tumblr that Jade had written. So just before I read it, I'll just give a warning that there is some offensive and derogatory language used in it. It says, "Hi, someone directed this page and told me if I wanted to be a faggot, you would be the best to learn off. So can I have some tips?"
What the hell? When was that posted?
Now, this was actually posted in 2014. So Jade was 19 at the time. And when I read that it was 2014, I thought, wow, that was not long ago at all.
No, and wasn't the post actually directed at her sister?
Yes, it was directed at her sister. And we do have to note that Jada actually did put up an apology. She wrote, "It's absolutely no excuse, but this comment was made on a blog when I was a teenager, before I knew better. I'll be the first to admit that I'm not perfect and I've made a lot of mistakes I regret deeply. The worst part is that I've hurt people with my choices of words when I strive to raise others up and make them feel good about themselves. I'm really sorry to anyone I might have offended with this comment. It's completely unacceptable, and I expelled this word from my vocabulary a very long time ago when I realized that it was hurtful and wrong. I'm really sorry that I was ever naive enough to use this word."
Good on her for apologizing. However, I feel like there's a lot of excuses made within that. There's, "Oh, I was only a teenager." Well, 19, that's the oldest you can be as a teenager, so I don't know if you should be including your age in it. Secondly, saying, "I'm sorry I was ever that naive." Again, there's a lot that denotes an excuse. I think you've just got to say, "This was not acceptable. I'm sorry and I'm learning from it." I don't really like the use of excuses within it.
Well, I mean, I'm kind of in two minds about it, because although it doesn't seem like that long ago when you say 2014, I do feel like people do have the opportunity to change. I feel like if you scrolled back through everyone's past, there would be things that they weren't proud of that they've written online.
I agree.
I do feel sorry for her in this respect, because I don't think she meant any malice by putting this up at all.
But I suppose it gives you an insight into what she's like behind closed doors. I mean, you know, in saying that, that could be someone she's not anymore. However, it's hard because a lot of influencers these days are involved in performative activism.
But then again, there's lots of pressure on them to behave in that way.
Yeah, but a lot of these influencers these days are kind of perpetuating that image of being holier than thou, and they are involved in performative activism. So I feel like that's why there's this gotcha moment when people find out, well, hang on, they've been using these derogatory terms before.
Yeah, definitely. I just think that as a society, we really have changed, even since 7 years ago. You know, some words that, I'm not saying those words were acceptable, but they were freely used more than they are now. And I do think it was great that she apologized. However, the apology wasn't up for long. It was only up for about half an hour, because Celeb Spellcheck chose to remove the comment when she saw Jada had apologized. And I do feel if you are genuinely sorry about it, you should keep the comment up there. However, I suppose it does damage her brand by having something up there like that.
Yeah, well, she did choose to put it on her private account, which is her backup account. So again, she wasn't really damaging any brand relationship she has with her main account.
Do you know what? It shows you that you should never go into battle with Celeb Spellcheck, because they are just going to do a deep dive on you and it's not going to end well.
This is Future Sophie here. We have to touch on the huge elephant in the room. Since recording this podcast on Saturday night, Celeb Spellcheck has announced she is permanently deleting her account. She wrote on Instagram on Sunday morning, "Hi everyone, as you know, I have spent some time thinking about the future of this account. After weighing up many options, the time has come to say goodbye to Celeb Spellcheck. This account has become too big, too powerful, and too time-consuming for me to enjoy running it anymore. There is no scandalous reason behind the decision. I'm not being threatened, sued, or controlled in any way. I will be permanently deleting the account tomorrow. Thank you so much to everyone who has followed and supported the page." She also followed up in saying that if any copycat pages pop up claiming to be her, they are definitely not. Although Celeb Spellcheck has touched on the fact that she is not being sued and that is not what is motivating her to make this decision, I think it is very interesting timing that she has had this run-in with Jada. It is also important to point out that Jada was able to report the post for a breach of copyright. So I do wonder if Celeb Spellcheck was worried that this was going to occur regularly. In saying that, I just want to say thank you to Celeb Spellcheck for holding influencers to account in the way that she has. And I totally respect her decision to want to move on from the page and just enjoy her life. Obviously, it wasn't enjoyable for her to do anymore. The thing I will miss the most, as I'm sure a lot of people will, is the incredible caption she shared with every post. Celeb Spellcheck, if you're listening, thanks for the fun times, and we will definitely all miss you.
"This is a cappuccino. I asked for a decaf cafe latte, you incompetent imbecile."
Moving on, and Chloe Zepp has posted a very interesting Q&A on her page this week. So she opened up about so many different topics, including vaccinating her son and her relationship with Mitch. So firstly, someone asked her how her relationship with Mitch is going, and she said that basically their personal relationship's been put on the back burner because of Artie and her new business, but they're focusing on reconnecting. And I kind of thought, good on her for being honest about that, because a lot of influencers out there want to pretend that their relationship is perfect.
I feel like that's such a normal thing to happen though when you have a child, because I feel like most mums, their attention does go to looking after the baby because they're the one that has to get up and do the breastfeeding and all that sort of stuff. So it's kind of a very natural thing.
I definitely think it is very relatable to mums, and I did like the fact that she was so raw and honest with it.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I went a little bit downhill from there because Chloe opened up about how she wants to potentially send Artie to an alternative or homeschool, which of course is fine if that's what you want to do. However, she started talking about how her new business, WellWeb, could potentially have its own school online. And it kind of just seemed very odd, particularly when she has no educational background. Yeah, because she wrote, hopefully in the future we can create a school through WellWeb, whether it be online or in groups, like an online curriculum that people can do in groups. Lol, I have big dreams. You'd hate to be inside my head. It's fun though.
Wait, so would this, I'm hoping that she doesn't actually mean it would be a school, but it could be an out of curriculum.
No, it was a school.
Oh my God.
It then got quite controversial when someone asked her thoughts on baby vaccinations and did you vaccinate Artie? So she said, I think it's a personal decision and it all depends on the individual and upbringings. I did my own research and we made informed decisions as a family. When you become a parent, you are faced with many decisions that have to be made. It's all part of the journey. Each and every journey is unique. Her response was very different to what she spoke about on her vlog in November when her and Mitch kind of hit out and said that these claims that they're anti-vaxxers are not true and that they were planning to vaccinate Artie once they had built up his immune system.
Well, she hasn't really said yes or no in that answer, has she?
Yeah, she's kind of very much sat on the fence. And it's not to say that she hasn't vaccinated Artie, because in the YouTube, they said they had made the decision that they wanted to vaccinate him. But I think it's just really disappointing because it's clear she's trying not to offend any of her followers. And while she does need to think about other people's feelings, I just think on this topic, it's so important to not spread misinformation and to actually be pro-vaccination.
And that's the thing. Not everyone would have seen her YouTube video to know whether she had vaccinated her son or not.
Yeah, but playing devil's advocate, the amount of hate that she would get from anti-vaxxers if she were to say, hey, I vaccinate my child, or if she said, I don't vaccinate
my child.
But she's
going to get hate either way.
That's what I mean, but maybe she was just like trying to play it safe. Well, so she doesn't, so she thinks that, oh, I'm not going to get hate from anyone.
Yeah, but I think it's a dangerous thing to sit on the fence with something so important.
Well, don't answer the question then. You could easily avoid it by not answering the question.
Exactly. I totally agree, Kate. I think that she should come out and say, yes, I vaccinated Artie, because she is so influential.
Exactly. And there has been rumors that she isn't anti-vaxxer, because Celeb Spellcheck posted how Chloe had liked an anti-vax page. So I think despite putting it on your YouTube platform that you do plan to vaccinate Artie, her audience is so much smaller on YouTube compared to Instagram.
There are no rules in this house. I'm not like a regular mom. I'm a cool mom. Right, Regina?
Well, I think that's all we've got time for today. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast.
Well, if you did enjoy today's episode, could you please make sure you're subscribed to our podcast and leave us a 5-star rating and review?
And come and join in on all the fun in our Facebook group, which is Outspoken, the podcast community.